It's 31 years has gone by. The community's still there. We still have no drugs. We still have no alcohol. We still have no outside religion. We do not have outside police. We don't have jails. We don't have any of those things. There's no need for it. We are self-sufficient. We accept no state funding. We accept no federal funding. We do not accept the U.S.'s recognition. We have not asked them for recognition. And when they offered it to us, we told them, we said, if you're going to give us recognition, the same kind of recognition you give to the tribal councils and to the bank councils, then we don't want your recognition. If you cannot recognize and respect us as the people that we are citizens of our own respective nation, then we don't want your recognition. Our brothers and sisters across this land recognize us. They know who we are. They respect us. And that's all we need. And today, we have our own school, we have our own clinic, we have greenhouses, we have maple syrup operation, we have our own sawmill, we raise buffalo, we raise Highlander beef, other beef cattle, horses. We also plant a lot of corn, beans, potatoes, all the what we need. But also, we built a bingo hall, and we also built a gas station, and we built a smoke shop, and we do all of this because we need to generate capital to invest in our children's future. And we are now in the process of building a second school, and one of our goals is to build our own university. And today, no outside law enforcement agencies can come into our territory. We have no police force. It is the duty and the responsibility of the men in the nation, in the territory, to defend and to see to it that our laws and our ways are respected. And all of our territory is held in common, and the title is still in the with the women. The economics that we have in the territory is still is still vested with our women, and that none of the outside laws apply. Federal Indian law does not apply. Only Gayanerit Gowa, what we call in our language, in which people have interpreted as being the law of great peace. That's the only laws that apply. Many people, even sad to say, many of our own people don't understand what it is that we've worked for, what we've struggled for. You know, the outside governments and churches have done a great job at creating such divisions among our people. And that today, a lot of times, something good can be done by somebody. But what a lot of times people will look at and say, well, I don't like him or I don't like her. And they create personal divisions instead of looking at what the real issues are. And when we as Oklahoma people today, we look at these things, we have to look at what's right and what we have to do. We cannot look at the messenger. We have to look at and understand the message. It's the message that's what's important. Because all of us in here, we can all agree that land is sacred. But we might not like our hairdos, we might not like the style of clothes we wear, we might not like a lot of things. That has to be set aside, because the individual is not the important one here. It's everybody. It's the children, it's the grandchildren. That's what's important. And that's what we have to struggle for. We have to look back and say and understand the truth of the matter is that our ancestors spilled their blood to give us a future. And when I say our ancestors, I'm not just talking about ours, I'm talking about all of us. Because we all have the ancestors. And the old people told us a long time ago that when creation came about, every one of us got the same instructions. We all have the same thing. This is not an exclusive club where only indigenous peoples of the Americas have this. The whole world had this. It's just that some of us have strayed. Some of us have retained the original teachings. And we have to put our trust in the creation and look at the creation and understand and recognize the creation, because that's our role model. Every one of the elements, everything, every creature, every life is an example that we have to follow. And we only have to learn to recognize and respect. Because if we don't start with ourselves, if we cannot learn to respect ourselves, then we can't respect anybody else in this room. We don't know how. We don't know how to show and give that respect and appreciation to what helps us to sustain life. We have to start with ourselves. And I've been traveling for many years. Many years I've lived in a suitcase. I've traveled all over North America. I've been to Mexico, to Guatemala. I've been to Europe 5 times. And I've met so many young people like yourselves who have such a spirit. And I always encourage you to see such faces, to get to know such minds. A lot of times I ask, where did those young people go? Because every time I come, it's a new face. Where are those young people I met 30 years ago who are now in their 40s? Where did they go? What happened to them? Did they forget? And did they lose the spirit? You see, this even happens in our communities. Many of our young people have such a spirit, but when they reach a certain age, it seems they become pacified. They don't keep the struggle. And a lot of times you see some who are so strong when they're young, and then you see them sitting on the band council, or you see them sitting in the tribal council, or you see them working in Ottawa or in Washington. And you say, what happened? How did they lose their spirit? What happened? But I say this to you because it's not only us, it's all of us. It's all of us. And you're on a road today. You're on a path. And you have that spirit today. Will you have it 10 years from now? Will you have it 20 years from now? Will you have it when you have grandchildren? It's important that people stay consistent. We cannot let the shiny objects distract us from following what's right. And this happens to all of us. Because those people out there who entice us with these things, even though we know they're wrong, so often we stray and we only reinforce them. We give them strength. We take our spirit and we give it to them, and they become even stronger. And we have to stop. We have to stop because we can't complain. We cannot complain. We have to live. We can't just have the words. We have to live. It's like they say, what's the use to have the thunder in a mouth if you have no lightning in your hands? And that has to always be there. Because I heard the speaker last night say, young people will ask, what did you do? Where were you? Where were you when the bad was coming? Why did you let it happen? Because I've heard those words. I've heard the words that young people tell me. They ask their grandmother and they ask their grandfather, why did the seaway come through our land? Where were you? Why did you let it happen? And I always said that I was not going to be one of those grandparents. And, you know, I'm not old. I'm not old in age, in years, and but those things of the past I carry with me makes me old. And I don't ever want that day my grandchildren will ask me that question, where were you? I want them to know where, that they don't have to ask me that question. I don't encourage violence, even though I have had to resort to it. I've carried a gun many times. I've sat in many bunkers. And so have many of my people. But always, we were never the aggressors. The only time we became aggressive was when we went into the mountains and took our land back. The rest of the time, we were always on the defense. Always on the defense. But always we tried to maintain our relations to talk. And when they tried to take us to their courts, we refused to go to their courts. We said, let's talk. Because George Washington is not my father. The Queen is not my mother. I know who my mother and father are. And they didn't come across the salt water. They're from here. Just like this land. This land is my mother, not the Queen. And so, I have a lot of things I would like to tell you, a lot of things I could explain to you, and to give you more of an insight to what my community is. And even, see, Caughnawagas, I may not reside in Caughnawagas, but it's still my community. Still my people, still my nation. And I come back often to try to remind the people, to try to teach the people, and to never let it be lost as to who we are. It's not to say ours is the right way, but it's our way. And that's why our grandfathers and our grandmothers put together and extended this agreement to you, we call the Gaswanta. Which may be translated as the Turo Wampono Agreement. It's called respect. And that we can both travel down the river of life together, side by side, as brothers and sisters. Always we can educate one another. Always we can support one another. And if ever either of our vessels should capsize, we could help to upright it so that we can continue down the river of life together. But we should never try to steer each other's vessels. Never. Because creation intended for us to be who we are. Just like all the flowers in the world, this would become a very dull world if all the beautiful flowers, and as beautiful as the roses, that we were all turned into red roses. This would be a very dull world. Creation meant for a variety. That's why you have pigeons, and you have crows, and you have sparrows, and hawks, and eagles. You have all the different birds for a purpose. Who are we to say that we have a greater mind than creation? Creation has proven itself for millions of years. And look in the short time that we've walked on this land, all the wrongs that we've committed. It's very simple.